Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 20. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis.
Today is October 6th of 2011, not 1984, like many people would want it to be. I mean, that was a cool day, right? Right.
Yeah, if you want to be a baby.
If you want to be born.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Why do you say that?
That's my birthday.
Oh, shoot.
That just happened.
That did just happen. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. It has been, I feel like I'm missing some things.
Yeah, how about...
We're gonna
re-record. Pat's not here.
Oh, no Patrick. He's at work
or at home.
Sleeping or...
He's somewhere.
He could not join us this evening.
That's a corporately appropriate way to word it.
But anyway, we will be discussing this week's tech news and what have you. You know, whatever else is relevant to the world at large. Not at large, probably just
the world at large.
But
is that Modest Mouse?
Is that a song or their album? Oh, I'll give it to you.
All right.
If you are listening live, you know that it's 9 at this point. But usually it's 8 o'clock. Every Thursday you can join us and listen to us live. Otherwise, you can always find our podcast on the internet, on the iTunes, or on our website at bleedgeek.com. And while you're there, you know, check out some stuff.
Maybe if you're into
stuff sometimes.
If you're into fantasy football, check out Point After Attempt.
Yeah.
As well.
And they'll keep you up to date on your fantasy news that would seem relevant to you. But yeah, that's pretty much all we need for an intro. Check out our site.
Yeah. So, figure we'll just start off with the smaller news and work our way up and leave everybody in suspense.
In suspense.
I closed. I'm not fully prepared.
Me either.
Well, I know what they were.
I'm not opening anything.
No? You're just going to wing it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like a better idea to not open anything currently.
Number one. Microsoft, it was just announced yesterday. It's not official. Because Microsoft doesn't claim actually that they're doing this.
For real?
For real. But it is rumored that they are putting
You're talking about Yahoo.
Yep, they're putting in a bid for Yahoo again. They tried doing this in 2007 or 8. They put in a bid to buy them for, they didn't say how much the total was, but it ended up being equivalent of $33 a share.
You know what I learned recently that was interesting that really fits into this incredibly well. Yahoo search just uses Bing.
That doesn't make any sense.
Or it searches off Bing somehow.
It piggybacks. I could see that because, since I know Yahoo and Microsoft partner so much, so I could see that. That's interesting though, because you'd think they'd have like their own proprietary type. Maybe
they're around first, right?
Well, right,
you'd
and
think
maybe
they have their algorithms going,
and maybe they just never updated. You know, they didn't stay current with the times,
right.
And so they wanted to be
much
cool.
Like everything else that has anything to do with Yahoo. They didn't stay current with the times.
Microsoft put in a bid to buy them again, or is going to be. It's not as much of an offer as it was the last a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. They're calling it Micro Who 2. So, I don't know. Be cool if it goes through, because I feel like Microsoft would be, that'd be a good thing for them.
And in other Yahoo news, they also recently partnered with CBS, in as far as news goes. They, are joining forces. I mean, they've already been semi-sharing content as it is. They already have a partnership, but they are actually making it one source, one place altogether. So if you go to Yahoo and you look at news, it's probably going to bring you to a CBS site. And maybe even vice versa. I saw that it said CBS Interactive and Yahoo News both on the header. So, that's interesting.
Also in the news, Xbox made the news. We had talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago regarding possible a la carte style cable shows being available through the Xbox. Xbox Microsoft technically is partnering with Verizon and Comcast. And it'll basically be a tune, like a, what is the word I'm looking for?
A set-top box.
Set-top box, basically. So you like still need cable another cable service. Box.
But so, if you have only one box and two TVs, maybe you could get some use out of it using it in the other room or something similar to that, I guess. I'm not exactly sure of the exact details on it, but it's a step in the right direction, and I believe the Kinect can be used as a, you can use yourself as a remote via the Kinect to change channels and whatnot. And I don't know if you'll be able to record on it, but I mean, I think standard on Xbox is 120 gig drive now.
I'm assuming it'll be
you can record TV shows and DVR stuff like normal.
If it can't from the get go, it's gonna be a close coming feature.
Yeah. So that'll be something in the immediate news. But that's Microsoft. What else do we have? Amazon. Their Kindles are now going to have the option, if you bought the ad version, the special offers version with ads, you will be able to take the ads off whenever you want if you want to pay the $30 that they gave you off at the beginning, which I think is smart of them to do, because, like, let's say if they sold only ad version models in the stores like Best Buy and Target, you could potentially buy that, and then then Amazon will get the $30 instead of Best Buy or Target, whoever getting that cut. Plus, I think they'd sell even better than they already do if they're cheaper. Because if they're selling the Nooks there, I mean, the un-ad-supported model is actually more than the Nook Touch, but the ad-supported one is less, or maybe it's the same price. But this way, it'll give them that lower price point that people can see. So I think that's definitely a smart move for them to do. But that's the Amazon news.
Yeah, I think that was
all of our news. Did you talk about Modern Warfare?
Battlefield. Yeah. And announced last week that on Thursday, the Battlefield 3 beta was being released by DICE. I was gone all weekend four-wheeling in Oklahoma, got home late Sunday, early Monday morning, downloaded it, installed it Monday night. I have about 4 hours into playing the game now. The new Frostbite 2 engine is insane. The graphics, I've got a pretty solid card, even running it overclocked. I can't come close to running the game in full resolution / full graphics. So
how old is your graphics card?
A year and a half, and it was top of the
top
line
of the
when
line
I got
then. Yep.
Well, I it mean was, it was it wasn't top of the line it was well, like it was the top of the line was the $600 model, and then the next one down was $350. So I paid $350 a year and a half ago for it, which could I've been able to play anything up until this game now at full resolution.
And do you think Like how big of a difference have graphics card come since then? Like, do you think it's
a lot.
It'll be a huge upgrade? Like, yeah. You'll be barely using whatever you buy next to...
What do you mean?
Like you have this maxed out and you're still not able to render, right?
Right.
So do you think you'll be running, let's say you buy, if you were to buy the top of the line graphics card now, would you only run, like, it'd be, like, it's... not tax it very much, like, to run everything?
Right.
Like,
yeah, well... Well, right now, like, I was doing some...
Like, do you have onboard memory on this, on yours that you have now? Like, is there, like, 512 or something?
A gig.
Yep. So, like, what's standard now? Is it, like, 2 gig standard, or is it still a gig?
It's still a gig. You can get 2 gig cards, but it's just better processors now.
Okay.
Because now the new cards have, like, mine only has a 1. I think it's just standard clock. It's 1.2 gigahertz processor, and then I can overclock it up to... 1.5,
mm-hmm.
And the new ones are 2 plus.
Okay.
But even looking right now, none of the current graphics cards on the market will be able to play the game full graphics, but there's some being released by AMD and ATI next week that will be in the $300 price range that will be able to play it on Ultra. So, I mean, it's not... I mean, graphics cards playing new games usually have a shelf life if you want to keep up with playing on the high resolution is usually, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, I'm playing it now, and I have my graphics turned down. I can't play it at high resolution.
So things just don't look quite as crisp, do you?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Do you downgrade to 720 then instead of 1080? Like, do you have that option, or is it just frames per second that you're losing?
No, it's, well, it's kind of all of the above. Like, the high resolution is 1920 by 1200, and I dropped it down to, it's like 14 by something something. I forget what it is.
Okay,
14
so you by just 9. Brought down the native resolution.
Exactly. So I'm able to play it, and it's fairly smooth.
So it's just not rendering quite as crisply.
Right. But, I mean, and it's totally up to the person playing it. I mean, it's for me, it's all... I mean, if you're going to get a new game, it's because of the eye candy.
Right.
It's... The game looks... It looks amazing. If you go online...
I mean,
online
when you play it now, does it... Can you... Like, you think it would be a noticeable difference to someone else?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you after we're done. I mean, it's crazy. So, yeah. If you want, the beta is... out, so you can go if you
is it
go,
free
yep completely free it's available cool. on PC, PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
And is it the full game then?
Or
is it limited to multiplayer?
Nope, it's multiplayer only, and there's two maps available.
Okay, so that's still pretty, I mean, to give that away for free though, it's still pretty
totally,
I mean,
yeah, it's really cool.
And definitely, like, that's what I always hated about video games is, like, I was more of a console person obviously, but just getting into, like, just spending when they're $60, like, without knowing if the game is worth it or not.
Right.
Then you don't want to go rent it, because that's about $10 yep. as well. You know, like, I mean, it's just like lose-lose all around. But that's the nice thing about it. And the same with streaming video and music. It's a way to find out if you actually want something before you pay for it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, but so it was available last Thursday. The full game comes out on the 25th, so it's going to be... It'll be awesome. I'll be playing.
The 25th of October?
Correct.
Oh, that's coming right up, huh?
I know. 3 weeks. A little less than 3 weeks now.
And then, that's Battlefield.
Battlefield 3.
And then Modern Warfare comes out in November?
Yep. First week in November. First Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah, which I'll also be getting that as well. I'll be in line. I won't be doing the midnight release for Battlefield, but I'll be doing the midnight release for Call of Duty.
I still think we should live stream or something.
That'd be funny.
I mean, I don't know what we'd do.
Yeah.
But just turn it into something. Or maybe just blog it, live blog.
We could.
Check out for updates on BlueGeek.com.
Yeah.
We'll figure out something. I mean, what do I have going on, right? What day of the week is it?
It'll be a Monday night / Tuesday.
Ah, whatever, right?
And then maybe we can get some... Hopefully we'll have some stickers or something by then. I've been looking.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, because we can hand some out and BlueGeek. Put it on your
car. Since we're getting so old, you know, this is episode 20. We definitely need to start marketing ourselves better. We need another contest, too.
It's true. We'll look into it.
So you should pay attention to our website, though, for stuff coming up soon.
But
I think that's all the little news, right?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Did we forget anything? No, we're good.
We're good.
So the big news started Tuesday. Apple had their iPhone event on Tuesday. Started out kind of slow. Well, they went over a bunch of numbers. Mac growth, just in general, is pretty big. Where the rest of the... I mean, PC market itself is kind of slowing down. It's actually going negative. But the Mac market has been, you know, still moving forward quarter after quarter. It's up like 23% or something, which is pretty impressive. They still only hold, I think we decided it was 16% of the market share.
Sounds
roughly.
About right.
15%. I mean, it's definitely small. But compared to what it used to be, I think at some point it was probably like 2%. I mean, but they're, the way they were talking was like, well, we obviously have a big ceiling to grow into. So when we only have such a small share, we have a lot to get going. They talked about their iPad sales, which I think they sold 250 million so far, which is a pretty big number. Quarter of a billion sold already in the year and a half that they've had it. Not even, oh no, probably pretty close to exactly a year and a half. Because it was March 3 to 10, yeah, a year and a half. I mean, that's still a freaking ton of iPads.
That's a lot.
And they were talking a lot about, I mean, they were saying that every state has at least a flagship school or some schools that are, you know, moving curriculums to iPads. They were talking about hospitals and major businesses. And I mean, it's a keynote. They always get into their numbers, and we're so great. I mean, any company is going to do that, not just Apple.
Right.
I mean, Microsoft's going to get up and say, hey, we're the best. This is why. But Apple's definitely doing well for themselves, and that's why they're, you know, right now they're still the biggest company in the world, so.
Yeah,
they're something doing, to say they're for doing that. Something, right? Oh, and that's something we forgot the last time around. They announced a new iPod line, which wasn't that much of a great rendition over their old ones, just a little bit of boosts, which oddly enough, they didn't mention putting the new processor in the iPod Touch, which I thought was kind of weird if they want to make it a gaming device. They said it is the biggest gaming device out there is the iPod Touch, which I think is a kind of a skewed perspective, but at the same time, I mean, just logically speaking, it is true.
Right.
But, I mean, to think people don't buy it, I mean, some people now do, but as a gaming device, I mean, selling apps and stuff.
Apps are where it's at. Yeah, I completely forgot to talk about that, too,
and
the iPod.
And then the click wheel is not dying. Everyone was concerned that they were going to take it off, and they didn't talk about it at all. But following the keynote, according to the website, it was still there. And you were telling me that it dropped $50, actually?
Yep. The 160 gig is going to be $250.
And they did drop the price of the iPod Touches as well. The 8 gig used to be $229. And the... It's funny because we didn't talk about prices at all for the phone either. Or the date. But, yeah, the iPods are going from $229 to $199, that magical $199 price point of the Amazon Fire. Yeah, and then, of course, they spent a long time reiterating everything about iOS 5. Not that iOS 5 isn't a big deal, because a lot of the things are big catch-up things that the iOS was already lacking, like notifications. To me, it's even more elongated because I've had the software since June. But to a lot of people, I mean, everyone's like, it's all the media that's there, so it's everyone that already knows. But they just reiterated their 10 features, their Twitter integration. They announced that they're making this app called Cards, which will, if you take a picture, you can make a card essentially, and they'll physically print it and mail it to someone for you for $2.99, $4.99 internationally, which, I don't know, seems like kind of a silly thing to do. I mean, I guess there's some merit in it. There's already an app called Postagram, which essentially takes your Instagram pictures and makes them a postcard for 99 cents and will mail them for you. But, I don't know, it seemed like a weird app to just kind of come out of nowhere. Oh, and they announced Find My Friends, too. Right now you can use the Find My iPhone feature if you, like, lose your phone, and it'll show you where it is. Essentially, they're always tracking you if you have your location data turned on. But now you can find where people who allow you to see where you are as well. And there's a lot of very straightforward, they made sure to point out that the privacy on that was very straightforward. You can turn it on and off whenever you want. You can set a time. And it's all very simple and straightforward. They definitely made that a point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the whole postcard thing is still, I think it's lame. I mean, I think
it's actually not a postcard. I think it's a folded card, which, not that that makes a difference, but it gets put in an envelope and then sent.
The Instagram one?
No, the Instagram one doesn't. That's a postcard.
Right.
But the cards.
Oh, the card is, so they're making it legit,
like, sort of. And it goes in an envelope, which I'm sure will have the Apple symbol on it somewhere. And then a stamp, which will probably be. but, yeah. And then, of course, they introduced the iPhone 5. Nope, that's not right.
Oh, 4S.
Which was a huge letdown for a number of people. And honestly, I think they could have called it the iPhone 5 and had less of a negative buzz. But I think their theme is, since it's the same form factor, the outside is almost identical. And their whole tagline for this was, it's the insides that are different, the insides that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did step it up in the insides. They stepped up from their old phone.
Right.
I'm not saying they by any means launched a revolutionary device or...
No, well, I mean...
They kept themselves relevant in the market right now is what they did. It's got the A5 processor instead of the A4, which is a single core. Now it's a dual core, 1 gigahertz processor.
That's the biggest thing, I think.
Definitely. That and the camera is the other giant thing that they did to the hardware. They added another lens. They added a bunch of light filters and sensors.
In the iPhone 4, it was 5 megapixel.
Right.
And the new one, it's an 8 megapixel. But now, I don't know if we mentioned it in our first recording, that it now has a flash as well.
It did. The iPhone 4 has flash.
Does it?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. The 3 didn't.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But the 4 did. But I feel like they did say the flash was...
Maybe it's just because it's more a better...
variable.
Maybe it's because it's just a better light sensor now in the new one coming out, that's what's going to make it that much better.
They have the apertures higher. I don't know if that's the right word, but it opens, it lets more light in for better color, better lighting.
Well, if
just
you...
Just better picture taking.
If you
all
read
around.
Anything about a camera, digital cameras nowadays, the thing that makes or breaks a camera is the light sensor inside. The bigger the light sensor, the better ability you have to take pictures when there's less than average light. So it's a good thing. A good thing for, since everybody has their phone on them, that's what I bet you.
And then a lot of people were like, well, this is an even further death of the point and shoot. Essentially, it's just as good as any point and shoot camera you can pick up at this point. The megapixels are still a little less, but the technology inside it and just the guts of the phone are.
Even having an 8 megapixel camera, there's lots of features on a regular camera that phone cameras are lacking, and one of them being is the light sensor, because you can still only fit there's a reason why cameras are as big as they are, one being the optical zoom, because digital zoom is
they're not saying lame. It's the death of the DSLR by any means.
No, I'm
but
just
the tinier.
Right, I'm just saying, just a point and shoot camera,
right.
Still, there's still something to be, they're not going to kill them.
Oh no, I don't think they will, but even if you have one, what are the odds you're always going to carry it with you, as opposed to you're always going to have your phone on you?
True.
And I think that's a huge point of why they made sure to upgrade the camera so much. It already has become the most popular camera on Flickr, by what cameras I've uploaded to it.
Do you think it's the best camera on Instagram as well?
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. You could also say it's the worst.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, technically a 3G. 3GS. Anyway.
Anyways.
And then they upgraded from 720 video to 1080, and they added image stabilization for recording, and I'm not 100% sure on if it's for single pictures either, but... and then they added... They just made sure that with the processor obviously helping, but that the from time to launch of take a photo is greatly increased, because I think that was a huge complaint with most people on their phone.
The time to launch is greatly decreased.
Decreased, right.
Okay.
The speed has increased.
Yes.
They said 1.1 second from opening your phone to taking a picture and half a second in between pictures, so.
And... I know we didn't mention it in the last one, but with the iPhone 4...
Are you looking at a comparison right now? Sorry, James?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I know. With the iPhone 4, there was a... Well, I forgot to bring it up at our last one.
Right.
iPhone 4 had a 16 and 32 gig model, where the 4S coming out has 16, 32, and 64.
So, which is kind of funny to me, because...
You don't think it's enough?
Well, no, I think it is, but it's funny because everything's moving to the cloud, so essentially you should need less space, right?
But yes and no. But
yeah,
people
no,
still.
I know. I'm just saying. I think it's become a reasonable to be able to make and produce at low cost, because the iPod also went up to a 64 gig, and I don't know if they had that last time or not.
I think, I don't know, the cloud I feel like is still a glorified backup.
No, I agree.
Place, not a place to keep everything, and that's it. So, but neither here nor there.
Right. They also they switched the antenna up, so It'll be GSM and CDMA in one, a world phone, if you will, instead of one or the other, which will also keep the fragmentation down, because with Verizon and AT&T prior, they had two separate versions of the software, and now they'll always be able to stay the same. And plus, if you have Verizon and you go to Europe or something, you'll be able to use your phone still. You'll just be roaming instead of having to get a new prepaid phone while you're there. And then it also is able to use HSPA Plus instead of just HSPA, mm-hmm. which only affects AT&T right now because both Verizon and Sprint, which it will be launching on Sprint as well, only they use LTE for their 4G, if you will. Unless, of course, you already think you have that. So for AT&T right now, I think the top speed we said was 7.2.
The standard.
For current 4, and with the 4S, you'll be able to go up to
14.4,
where available, of course. Right. I mean, it all depends on the networks.
It's like
blah,
cable.
Blah, blah, blah. But the hypothetical rates are, you know, the hypothetical maxes are that. Am I missing something, Siri? But that's more software. Was there anything other hardware features that were?
I think we hit the main ones. You said the battery. You mentioned that
the battery is. I mean, with a faster processor, most of the time that would drain your battery faster. But they've upgraded the battery to keep up with it. Essentially, you'll have the same battery life as the 4, but
correct.
It's a better battery. You just won't be able to tell because you have better components that are draining the battery faster.
And one thing that we did not touch on was Apple has announced that they're going to be doing an upgrade plan also. So you can trade in your iPhone 4. It's like a cashback program, sort of. So you can do a trade-in to upgrade your phone. So they'll give you some cash for your iPhone 4.
Possibly up to 200. Was that what the number was?
Up to the full price. Well, I don't want to know. They haven't said yet what the iPhone 4S is going to be.
No, it's 200.
Is it 200?
199.
Okay, then up for the 16.
So iOS 5 launches October 12th. On October 7th, you can pre-order the iPhone 4S. On October 14th, they will start shipping the iPhone 4S. The models will be 16, 32, and 64, which will be $199, $299, $399, respectively. Obviously, depending on the gigs. Oh, the other thing, though, with the iPod, they announced that you can get it in white, if that's a big deal to anybody. The iPod Touch. And then they're going to keep the iPhone 4 around as a $99 model for just an 8 gig. And you can get an iPhone 3GS for free with a contract. So they've brought the iPhone down to free, sort of.
I did see one funny thing. For those of you that would like to also upgrade your iPhone 4 to an iPhone 4S, if you'd like, Bleed Geek would actually hook you up with that upgrade kit. For 99 cents, we will provide you with a little S sticker that you can stick next to your 4. So...
good one. Watch out for Randy. He's a real jokester. They also announced a big thing that would be in the iPhone 4S is a software feature called Siri, which is right now they have voice control, but it's basically a much upgraded version of that. It is, like a personal assistant is what they're calling it. You ask it something, it gives you an answer. Like, if you want to know what the weather is supposed to be like today, do I need a coat today? It can kind of, the big thing is that it can take common language. Like, I mean, you can talk to it like a person, essentially, and you can ask it to find you an Italian restaurant within 5 miles, and it can do that. I mean, you can say, I need to set up an appointment at noon on Friday, and it'll tell you. Or if you have another appointment set, then it'll say, you already have a meeting with so-and-so that day. Do you want to move it? Like, I can read and reply text via voice. You can dictate emails and send them. You can get directions. Say, what's the traffic like here? give me directions to my house, give me directions to Randy's, which would be the same essentially for me.
Down the hallway.
It can, I mean, it's just all kinds of things, and like set the timer, set my alarm for 7, call somebody still. That was there right now. I can do that. Play your playlist, play the song. And it also has integrated Wolfram Alpha and Wikipedia. So you can say, look up, Charles Barkley on Wikipedia, and it'll bring up the page for you. So it's pretty crazy. The immediate media response of the people that got to play around with it, I've heard, is pretty high. I mean, they all really said it. They were very impressed with it. I know a few of the people tried to, talk fast. Not necessarily talk fast, but talk just like they would. And they said it was loud in the place, and it was pretty good with, like, background noise and just everything in general. But the big thing, I mean, I've heard, and even I thought, was, like, who wants to talk to their phone all the time? I mean... Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in public, you look like a weirdo. And a comment I heard that made a lot of sense was people don't want to talk on their phone as it is. They text and email instead. Right. I mean...
Oh, how often do you talk on your phone?
Yeah, never. but, I did today, actually. But...
Yeah, that's because your grandpa doesn't text.
That's right. but, but aside from a few people that you, like... don't text. I mean, I stay off my phone as much as I can.
Yeah. So should we go into the...
Well, overall, I guess, I mean, you had asked me before if I would get one. If I could upgrade right now, I would think about it, but since my upgrade's not up, I don't think it's definitely a speed boost. A lot of people thought it should be thinner or have a bigger screen.
Just redesigned it.
A redesign in general. I think that and the fact that it's called the 4S and not the 5 are the biggest letdowns of the day.
Yeah, I know. I'm at that point now where I'm ready to upgrade, and Lydia, she wants a smartphone also. She would like an iPhone for the apps, and that's what, I mean, just for the ease of use and the apps, that's what I would much rather have.
Have for her.
Yeah. But I don't think this is the phone to make. I mean, T-Mobile said that they weren't going to be getting the iPhone, which I was crossing my fingers for.
Curious, I have a crazy conspiracy theory for you, but
right. but it's the 4S isn't one that's going to make me switch carriers by any means. So I don't know what we're going to do.
It's an amped up 4. I mean, it's got a better camera. And it's faster. And you can get a really big one if you want.
Yeah, it gives Google and
Windows
a good chance to do some ground catching.
And next week, Android is launching, or they're having an announcement. Google has an announcement with Samsung on October 11th, so we'll be covering that next week for sure.
Yep.
And we'll let you know what that is. But everyone thinks it's the next Nexus Prime or Nexus S. I don't know where they're at with that, but the Nexus phone. So yep.
The Google one.
The Google flagship phone, and it'll be ice cream sandwich. So,
which would be sweet.
We'll see what happens next week, and we'll cover that in depth, I'm sure, as well.
Totally. So did anything else big happen in the Apple world?
Okay, so that was Tuesday, and then on Wednesday... 6:30, 6:45-ish, Apple came out and said Steve Jobs had passed away, which led to a huge media frenzy. I mean, Steve had a huge impact on everyone and everything in the last 20 years, really.
Well, so much that the president even came out and, said a few words for the guy, which is crazy.
Right. I mean... he built Apple out of a garage into the hugest company in the world. I mean,
yep,
that's where they're at right now. And, him and Woz started in their garage, in Steve's garage. And he got fired from Apple. But he came back when they were on the verge of bankruptcy and led them to where they are now. He started Pixar Animation. I mean, they pioneered the computer graphics industry, basically, or the computer animation industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's There's no one that hasn't been touched by something he's done.
Well, I think Obama put it best, you know, paraphrasing what he said, you know, it's like the majority of people were hearing the news about his passing on a device that he helped create, you know, whether it be the iPad, whether it be iPhone, or just a Mac device in general. So it's crazy. It's a huge, not a blow, but it's a big deal for a guy who literally turned a bankrupt company into the world's biggest brand, really.
For sure. I mean, there's so many stories. And just to mention, he gave a speech at Stanford or Harvard? Stanford.
I think it was Stanford.
Stanford graduation in 2005 or 2006, I want to say. So if you haven't ever read that or seen it, I would suggest finding it on YouTube or finding the written out version, because it's definitely something to read. And it just gives you kind of a peek into how he thinks and how he works. And I don't know, there's just been so much. Just watching Twitter yesterday was insane. I could go back forever and not see his, you know, it was just all about him.
It was an explosion. Well, it was funny. I was going through my Google Plus feed this morning, and it was funny because you could pick out when it happened.
Yeah.
Because the last post before it was Tom Merritt posting the new TNT, you know, what was on their docket for it. And then it was like a half hour after that it was just like, boom, everything was.
It's funny, cause I went back on Twitter too, and I could find exactly where it happened in my Twitter feed. It started out as is this really happening? Subtle, can someone confirm this, please? Yep. And then the Apple announcement, and then that's all it became.
Yeah, that's me and my neighbor were golfing, and he got a text from his wife saying Steve Jobs died, and I was like, yeah, I've heard this one before, you know, because there's always rumors that go around that, you know, so-and-so has died. So I went to CNN right away, and it wasn't on there. And I was like, dude, this is...
I didn't get a CNN update till 3 hours later.
Really?
Because I get push notifications to my phone, breaking news, whatever, and it was forever.
And it was no, dude, it's BS. And then he checked on, I think it was ABC, and they had it on there. And then I was like, well, I'll just check Apple.com. And then I went there and it had the picture of Steve Jobs. And then,
which I think it still does. If you haven't gone there, go to Apple.com and you'll see it's just a picture of him. And I bet it'll be up for a while, actually.
Yep. Yeah, it's still there.
And then you can click on it and it'll bring you to a few words they had to say and a place where you can send thoughts or memories of him. And I've seen a ton of pictures today on Twitter, Instagram photos and TwitPics, whatever, of... Mm-hmm. At the San Francisco Apple store, there's a huge memorial. People, there's so many flowers and stuff, and I don't remember if it was that one or I saw a London store too, but there's a row of apples placed on the ledge. Everyone had brought an apple, and there's a bunch of post-it notes stuck to the window. And just everything in general. It's just insane to think of the things he did. Pixar, he sold for, we decided, $8 billion to Disney.
I closed it. I know I know Pixar was his largest chunk of
money
that he had, because it sold for $8.3 billion, and
that's ridiculous.
And it's not like he was splitting it with anybody. Steve Jobs owned Pixar himself.
Right.
You know, and then it was funny reading, because it was since the guy's got tons of money and he knew it, you know. So working for Apple since 1997, he decided to give himself a salary of $1 a year. So he has been working for the last 14 years he's made $14 essentially. You know, and he said that 50 cents was for showing up to work, mm-hmm. and then the other 50% was for his performance. There we go.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. It's like
he had a good sense of humor.
Totally.
And just to hear the stories. Sergey Brin and Larry Page. I mean, he mentored them. I mean, he really did help Google become what it is. And they were really good friends up until they started making Android. Andy Hurwitz, I think is his name. I mean, he worked at Apple for a long time and just, there's a really good article by Walt Mossberg too. I mean, he was close friends with them aside from being a huge journalist. It's funny too. I saw Dwight Silverman?
An older
gentleman who does tech news now. He said, you know, I haven't felt this kind of emotionally attached to a celebrity since John Lennon died. And he said, at that time, I covered music. I did music news. Like, and a lot of people are, you know, comparing it to Lennon. And I've seen actually a lot of comparisons to him to Thomas Edison, like, for changing the world. Like,
makes sense.
Just the way we interact with technology. You can't show me any technological device that I could not trace back to Steve Jobs somehow, I'm sure. I mean, there's something that, you know, and the amount of patents he owns. And
yeah, I know they had said greatest things that he has, great Steve Jobs'
biggest influences.
Top products that he has given the world. One being the OS X overhaul, that was him. Thing called Next, NEXT.
Is it a capital X?
It's a capital N, lowercase e, capital XT.
Which essentially was a company that started when he left Apple, and then the software became the groundwork for OS X.
Yeah, so I'll give you, like, the little subtitles that they put with it. So, Next was Innovation in Exile, which, it makes sense. Macintosh, Computers Getting Cute. The MacBook Air, Winning with Thin, which makes sense. Lisa, acronym, was just ahead of its time. And they said it was a personal computer introduced in the early 80s. Its name was for Local Integrated Software Architecture, which also is the name of one of his daughters.
His first daughter, right? Kind of like Wendy's.
Makes sense. iTunes, I mean, instant gratification via the internet. I mean, he completely revolutionized the music industry out there.
And the way we consume media in general, I think. I mean, everything followed.
Well, look at how much we can take in just with podcasts alone.
We'll look at podcasts themselves.
It's true.
That's crazy. We're creating right now is, I mean, yeah.
Then the iPhone itself, mobile computing hits next level. iPad, the challenger to the PC. The iMac, the end of a beige computer, which I think is funny because I still think of, I mean, they show it and it means exactly as I picture
right.
it. The stupid little clear see-through crap and
the blue or the pink or the green.
I remember the green ones.
That's what we had at school.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then just the Apple II. I mean, that's what started it all, really. You know, it was 1977. Is that crazy to think about?
So your Star Wars came out.
Nobody cares about that, though. Just kidding.
Anyway.
Looking for a reaction. Got really? It. Yeah, he's definitely going to be missed. It'll be interesting. I mean, I know a lot of people said, you know, when he finally does pass, Apple's going to be screwed. But, I mean, you know that he left a multi-year plan with them, with his vision. When his vision finally runs out, that's when it'll be interesting to see where the company goes.
And it's just crazy to think that he stepped down 6 weeks ago. Like, he knew how bad he was. I mean, and Facebook was supposed to be involved, and a few other things were supposed to be involved at the announcement for the iPhone 4S, and for whatever reason, Facebook got dropped, and Robert Scoble had come out and apologized the next day to Tim Cook. He said, you know, I was upset and stuff, and I thought you guys had done something, but when I talked to the guys at Facebook, they said that the reason they didn't do it was because Apple had basically just went black over the weekend. Like, they wouldn't answer calls, they wouldn't return calls or anything, like... It was as if they all knew. I mean, I actually think I will go back and watch the keynote from the 4S and kind of take it from a different view now, you know, like mm-hmm. how much did they know at that point? I mean, I didn't get to watch it yet. I've only seen the live. I only watched the live
blogs
of it. But I wonder how subdued Tim Cook was. Like, did he, like, because obviously he was close. He, of all people, not that there was, I mean, obviously his family was close to him. But,
yep.
But like, that the fact that, like, Tim's sort of his protege. Like, you know, like, Steve was his mentor and he was always, like, helping. They were, yep. worked closely together. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And for the last 14 years or something that Tim's worked there, that's essentially who he's worked with. So, I mean. I'd like to go back and watch it anyway, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it's sad. And he was only 56. He was born in 1955.
Yeah.
He's young.
They said it was pancreatic cancer that he's been battling. I mean, you'd said that
he had a liver transplant at some point. I think he was diagnosed with cancer, I think, in, like, 05 or 04. And he initially was told he only had three to 6 months. And at that point, you know, they basically told him, get your stuff together. And then they did a biopsy and found out that it was a very rare version that you can actually operate on. And so they went in and operated and they got rid of it, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any more details after that. But I know that he ended up getting a liver transplant and obviously having health issues for the rest of his life until yesterday. Well,
it's like, I mean, looking at even pictures of him through the last like 5 years,
you can just see it.
Yeah, and some of the last, I know Todd from work, he had sent me a picture from what was the conference that they held,
WWDC,
because he was there
and everyone everyone pointed out how thin he looked there.
Yep. And there's one picture that like didn't get like massively released. I mean, because it was one of those pictures that was just a bad picture, but I mean, I wish I had it still, because it really, I think, just shows what kind of health he was really in at the time.
Well, and he was on medical leave during that. I mean, people didn't know if he would be there either, if Tim Cook would be giving that presentation, because he has been on medical leave since, like, January, I think is when, or December. So, he's been out for a while, but,
He's definitely going to be missed in the... In the personal computing world, you know, I mean, he's really...
Well, even in the world.
I mean, he's revolutionized the way we take in information, the way we do...
Everything.
Everything, really, you know? So...
Well, without Apple, there wouldn't be Google, so, I mean, the way we drive, the way we...
It's true.
Everything.
So, moment of silence for the Steve J, huh? That's good.
That pretty much wraps this up, though, I think, again.
Yeah. I'd just like to give a shout-out quick to our chat room members. One for sticking around for two recordings worth. Commander X, good college buddy of mine. And Krogi, a first-time caller, friend of ours from high school, stopping in. So... Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep up to date with us, with a lot of the big conferences and information as you find it, we're always posting on Facebook and Twitter. So you can get us at facebook.com/bleedgeek or on Twitter @bleedgeek.
Otherwise, just bleedgeek.com. You can go there.
Yeah.
Check us out.
Check out our blog. Or you can find us on iTunes, too, if you want to catch up on some past episodes.
If you like giving us a review, go ahead.
Yeah, we dig it.
And if you want to follow us, our other podcast for fantasy football news, like we mentioned earlier, thepointafterattempt.com. But for that, it's way better to follow the Facebook and the Twitter, because we update that. And you can always get the latest injury news Sunday mornings, especially. And
yep.
Before the Monday night game, too. And throughout the week, we always update it, but... But definitely to find out who's in and out at the last minute, it's a lot easier to keep up that way. But otherwise, we have an email if you want to email us at fans@bleedgeek.com, or our phone number is 406-79-GEEKS. I don't know what the numbers are, but you can figure it out, I'm pretty sure.
4979
G33 K-S. I know the E's are threes, but...
It's true. Good enough.
You can figure it out.
If you can't figure it out, then email us.
You can follow us individually on Twitter. Mine is at Mike037.
And I am, for now, at Crandall111. Looking to...
Looking for options.
Yeah. Some person has Crandall. I want it. But they're not getting back to me, so...
Don't know if you find her.
I know. I'm going to hack it.
Hacks.
Anyways. Got anything else?
The one thing that at the end of Steve's Stanford speech he said was, stay hungry and stay creative. And I think that's the thing that stuck with me the most over the last day. So
there was a couple things that... There was one other talking about... let me stall him for a second.
And in other... Or if you want to follow Josh, he helps with the point after attempt. His is at the Nyman. And it's funny if you go follow him, because he'll be like, why are all these people following me all of a sudden? No, now that he'll hear this, though, now. So it's not really the same.
Does he listen to our podcast?
Yeah.
The recording?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
He tells me he does. And he gives me relative information that he could only got from it. So
while I'm looking this thing up, also... If you want, there's a really good interweb TV show / I think they're technically a podcast now.
You didn't say anything about Dignation this time, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Let me give a shout out to Dignation. One of my favorite podcasts, Dignation. My two favorite hosts, Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. They have been going on for 6 years now, and they're actually ending it in December. They're doing a big live show somewhere in Los Angeles, and it's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna miss that podcast. That's the show that got me into the podcast scene, you know.
They've been doing it for like 6.5 years. You kind of got to give them a break on it. All good things must come to an end, right?
It's true.
Just like Steve himself.
Yeah. If you have extra time, give it a watch, because it's funny.
Dignation.com.
It's true. I don't know if I'll be able to find it.
What are we looking for?
It was a quote by Steve. Oh, here it is. This is a quote by Steve Jobs. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. I mean, the guy was just...
That was also from the Stanford speech, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Again, I think you should go read that and or watch the YouTube of it. It's not that long either, so... I mean, if you think you're getting into this huge thing, but it's good stuff.
So.
Anything else, sir?
No, that's it. That's it for this edition of Bleed Geek.
Episode 20 in the bag. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis, and gonna go pour some out for Steve J.